Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's August 20th, 2013. 4 days until our big event this Saturday. You're all still invited, but you must RSVP. More to say about that in just a second. In the studio with me is Elmer Zules. I'll introduce him in just a moment. Thank you, Joey Kroll, for filling in yesterday for me as I got back late Sunday night from spending some time in Winnipeg, Manitoba. I attended the Hong Kong Veterans Commemorative Association National Convention. Those of you may remember about 4 years ago I attended my first convention. My dad was a veteran of World War II, and in fact, before the United States got involved in World War II, he left New York and enlisted with the Canadian Royal Rifles, had a few months of training, was sent over to Hong Kong. The Japanese invaded in early December of 1941, and right at Christmas time was taken captive and spent almost 4 years in various POW camps. And if you remember back 4 years ago, I couldn't even get through the broadcast with all that I learned as I met some of the people that were in the same prison camps with my dad, and it was a real eye-opener. Well, I'm hoping to have maybe two of the organizers of that convention, good friends Dennis and Marlene Bell, maybe next Monday, or Monday and Tuesday. We'll see how that all works out. But I'll have a lot more to say about that convention, the great time I got to spend with Stu, and all the new Canadian friends that I made that may even be tuned in today. A special shout-out to May and her sister Norma. Spent a lot of time laughing with those two. Even did some dancing. Think it had been since Stu's 40th birthday that I danced last. That was about 7 or 8 years ago. And then another 10 or so years before that when he got married. That's about 23 years ago. But a great time with Dennis and Marlene Bell, Eric and Bev Campbell, Pam and her husband, and then some of the veterans, George Peterson, George McDonald. Both these veterans knew my dad from the prison camps. Juliet, Mitzi Rose, Jerry, and some others. We'll talk about them maybe this next week. So if you're from Canada and you're tuned in for today's edition of Mark and Friends, welcome to our radio listening family. Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 13, and this is from the NIV, the New International Version. I guess nowadays you have to even qualify. This is their first edition. It's not the new updated, you know, more neutral, or I don't know what they call it, but this is the 1984 International Version. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. And I'm going to emphasize that last portion. He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Well, Elmer, you're my special guest on today's edition of Mark and Friends. Thanks for being available. Recently, you were working in my yard preparing it for a special gathering on August 24th, so your handiwork is throughout my yard. Thank you for the gifts that God has given you to be able to cut and trim and beautify and restore and assist in my homestead here. But we got a lot of time to talk in and out when you were in and out of the house and when I was out in the yard or as you were petting Beamer. He's very fond of you. And we got to talk a lot about different topics, about coming to the Lord, witnessing for him, about God not taking sides, a message you heard recently by Dr. Jeremiah. Some of your background, you're 74 years young. You've been married to beautiful Gail for 48 years. You have 3 sons. You retired from the U.S. Geological Survey. You live in Mahomet. You attend Friendship Lutheran Church of Joy, and you love the fact that joy is in the name of that church because the joy of the Lord has been on you for a number of years, and especially since about 15 years after you really began studying God's Word through the Bible Study Fellowship gathering that you attended for a number of years. You and I have talked off air about how we can witness in all things, you know, whether it's even witnessing in church next to that person that we're worshiping with. We have a witness there, whether it's in a restaurant, whether it's in the work that we do. There's lots of ways of witnessing. So thank you for sharing this verse out of 1 Corinthians with me, and you said you really appreciate it. So before you tell some of your life story and some of the unique ways you've seen God at work and a special answer to prayer, kind of where his handiwork was all over a situation with your son Jeffrey, tell me why you appreciate 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13.
Well, my son Jeff was in an automobile accident where he was he was dying. And it was a very critical thing for him. But
this is about how many years ago?
Putting her 20 years ago.
Okay.
There were three boys in the car. They'd been in Indianapolis at a Christian gathering for a weekend, and they were on their way home near Danville on a nice, warm, sunny October afternoon, Sunday afternoon, a day when there would be no doctors available at the local hospital and that. But they had an automobile accident, and Jeff was in the back seat, and he was injured severely. He had a broken spleen where he was bleeding to death, and also he had many holes in his lungs. So,
and he's about 19 at the time?
He's about 19 years old.
Okay.
As the accident occurred, as I understand it, a trucker was traveling by and observed it. And he called the state patrol at that time and reported the accident. The state patrol was located only 1 mile away, and the state patrolman said that within three minutes of the call, they were at the site. When they arrived at the site, a paramedic had already stopped as she'd come along the highway and observed what was the problem with the three boys. Another miracle, I always call it a miracle from the Lord. The Lord had an ambulance at the state patrol office, and the ambulance followed the patrolman out to the accident. And so the ambulance came immediately, and the paramedic said, "You have to take the boy in the back seat to the hospital immediately." So they just put him in, and away they went. Well, we got to the hospital. It was in Danville, where there would be normally no doctors on hand. But that Sunday morning, the lung doctor was called in because of one of his patients having problems. And also, there was a doctor doing an operation on an emergency that came in. And they had just finished the emergency operation, and the lung doctor was finishing his work when they got the call and said that they were bringing Jeff in. So he came into the hospital, and immediately the doctors observed him and took him into surgery. And it was only because of that that he didn't bleed to death, and also they were able to get his lungs working again. And today he's a healthy man again. Mm-hmm. And he's got himself a family with four children and doing a real good job for the Lord.
And that 1 Corinthians 10:13, how do you see that as like a parallel or a special way that God has used it in your life?
Well, God gave him this problem of an automobile accident and near death. But 13 says that God is going to be with him right on through all the problems and care for him, which the Lord did.
Yeah, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it.
Right, and I counted up about five or six different people that had to be in the place that they were at the very time to make sure that Jeff would be able to live again.
Mm-hmm. And nowadays, it's not too uncommon. Everyone has a cell phone. 20 years ago, this was a truck driver with a CB, right?
That's right.
So this truck driver just happened to be in that area, those moments, observe things, use the CB radio. Now, many of our younger listeners, they're clueless. Like, they don't even know anything about that, because there was just a short period of time in our American history where a lot of people were CDs and they had their handles. But the fact that he saw it all, that he got a hold of, you know, the police department or the state troopers, that ambulance happened to be there, that the doctors happened to be called in. I mean, isn't that the tapestry that God weaves all these things together in advance, knowing that Jeffrey was soon to be in an accident and to arrive in that hospital in Danville?
He did all that. And then not only that, but the Lord brought to the hospital, about 20 of his fellow students from high school and their parents, to comfort just the family through this. And the Lord just took care of everything for us.
And you have found the Lord taking care of you throughout your life. I think it was at the age of 3 you were hearing a radio program, and you made an interesting statement earlier to me that there's that process of coming to the Lord, and yet then there's the growing in the Lord. So what happened around the age of 3? And you remember this point in your life, right?
Right. My mother would listen to the Sunday sermon on the radio, and we listened to Dr. John Holland from the little church, little brown church in the Wildwood. And we'd listen to that every Sunday morning, and that kind of introduced us to the Lord. And from then on, we were in the church. We were in a good Christian family and Christian church, and grew quite well. And then about 15 years ago, we started with a Bible study fellowship, which is an independent Bible study. And all they do is study what's the word in the Bible, found in the Bible.
So at this point, you're like 59, 60 years old almost.
I am, yeah. But I finally got to know exactly what the Bible says and can put everything together, and it makes so much sense about how the Lord does things and what he can do for us.
You know, Max Norman, I don't know if you know him. He's a volunteer with this radio ministry. I think he's 86, 87. He's been assisting me in this ministry for, I don't know, about 15 years. But a similar experience happened to him later in life. I mean, he was a senior saint. He did all the right things. He followed the Lord. He was a church attender, had great morals, was obedient, compliant, a good guy. And yet, it wasn't until later on in life, I don't know if it was in his 60s or 70s, where he made a connection with the Lord and started grasping that grace, that truth, the biblical knowledge that God is good, that God is for him, that God certainly wants him to obey and follow the rules, but it's much more than that. It's a relationship, and there's this newness. I mean, I think he's like 87, and any time I can orchestrate it where I'm out at the tower at the same time, he's going to have a book, and he's going to be like, Mark, do you know this truth about God? Do you realize this concept? And you were sharing that earlier. You love that joy is in the name of your church, the Friendship Lutheran Church of Joy on Duncan and Curtis, because you have found that newness maybe later on in life, that love of the Lord, that joy that you can have in the Lord as the Holy Spirit works through you in all circumstances, not just on Sunday when you go to church, but throughout the week too, right?
Right, sure do. Yes, I do. Yeah, everything I do is just seems like it brings joy to my life. And the thing about it, this is joy from the Lord. And joy from the Lord is a joy that is lasting forever. It's not just a one-day effect.
Yeah, there's a big difference between happiness, which can be very fleeting from day to day, experience to experience, and the joy of the Lord that is rooted in us because of our relationship with Jesus and the fact that God loves us. I mean, can you imagine when you get that truth in your heart that the sovereign, all-powerful, almighty, glorious, holy God has an interest in us, not just an interest in us. He loves us. He cares for us. I mean, I think that Satan's greatest tool or means is to try to derail that knowledge from our mind and heart that God loves us, that God cares.
Oh, it is. Yes, that's for sure.
Well, you said something about a message you heard recently from Dr. David Jeremiah about God not taking sides, that he's really on both sides. What do you mean? What do you think he was conveying, or what's that truth in there?
Well, whenever there's a conflict between you and someone else, or whatever conflict might be, why, you can't always say that I'm always right with everything, because sometimes that conflict is there just so that I'll turn the other direction when I come to a crossroads, or so I'll follow the Lord's ways of doing things. It isn't always my own way of doing things.
And we oftentimes become that, I don't know what you would call it, we're in the right, everyone else is in the wrong. And and the reason why, Jason and I had an interesting conversation with a friend the other day, and like when we say, oh, that person's a liberal, Well, that puts you at the center of the universe. Like, you're right, and anyone that is different is like a liberal, or you take this stance, and this person, oh, he's this. Well, that puts you as the point of, like, I'm the best, I am always right, I am in the best location, so anyone to my right or left is wrong. Mm-hmm. And so we do have to be careful, because we change and grow. And you've seen that in your walk in the Lord over the years, that growing in the Lord. You came to the Lord at an early age, but the growing in the Lord, that sanctification process that we all go through, what has been some of your joys as you've learned and grown and studied God's Word?
Oh, boy. All the joys. Well, I guess the best thing is, I guess, probably come out of that is I tried to follow the Lord as I was growing up and just had to be patient. And then it's probably the time that I met my wife. What happened is the fact that it was actually due to my brother. He found a girlfriend, and his girlfriend had a roommate. And so through that, why I corresponded, I was living in Nevada, and they were back in Wisconsin. But my brother suggested that I correspond with this young lady.
Now, had you met her yet at this point?
No.
Oh, really?
No,
so this was just a correspondence pen pal, if you will.
Yeah, she was just the name. And so I started writing, and so she wrote back.
Now, how old are you at this time, and what were you doing in Nevada?
I guess I was about 26, and I was working with the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation. I was just out of college.
So that's what you were doing in my yard recently. You were reclaiming it.
I was reclaiming it, yeah.
You were saving it.
Yeah.
A little evangelist out there.
Yeah. It's a reclamation. It's hard to see whether it's reclaimed or if it's made a wreck, but anyway. But anyway, I just corresponded back and forth, and after 2 years, why, my brother got married, so I stood up for my brother, and my wife, Gail, stood up for.
Now, is that
wife.
The first time you met Gail in person at the wedding?
That was the first time.
So 2 years of corresponding, getting to know her, sharing stories or life experiences, and then your brother gets married, and that's the first time. Like, did you talk on the phone? I'm assuming sometime during that period.
I guess we probably did. I'm not familiar with too many times at that.
Okay.
But we corresponded, so we understood a little bit about who we each were and what our intentions in life were. Anyway, that was the first time that I met her, anyway. And she did catch my eye pretty good, anyway. Mm-hmm. And then so we went to the wedding, and we had a dance at the wedding, and the wedding dance played mostly polkas.
Okay.
So we spent the night dancing the polka together.
Poking away.
Yeah. And that was quite an evening anyway. So it was an evening to remember for our lives anyway.
When did the Peace Corps, where you both served in, happen?
So that was another 4 months later that we actually went to the Peace Corps. After we'd met in that, then we'd submit an application for the Peace Corps. And we asked them to go to the same place. They accommodated us quite well.
Where was your first assignment? Is that what it's called, your first assignment or something?
Yeah. Well, they assign you to a country. And so we both went to Colombia, South America. And my wife's a nurse, so she went as a nurse, and I'm an engineer, so I went as an engineer. And we were in the whole project was a project development group. So we were to develop projects to assist the small towns in Colombia. It worked out pretty well anyway. Then we went to training in October, and we were married in December. And we went to Colombia in January.
As a married couple.
As a married couple.
So that was almost like your honeymoon.
I always tell my wife that was the best time of my life. I had a 2-year honeymoon. She couldn't run home to mom. So anyway, we got to know each other.
And 48 years this December. You'll be celebrating 48 years. It obviously took. And tell me something about Gail that you have learned to appreciate and love over these many years.
The main thing is that I found about her is she was a good Christian lady. And that's the biggest thing that I really loved about her, that we could talk about Jesus together. We could read the Bible together, and we could study His Word together and enjoy ourselves. And it's that single thing, I think, that's really kept us together under all circumstances. If any problem came up or so on, why, we'd always have to look back and see what the Lord had to say about it.
Well, Elmer, it's been great getting to know you these many years. And a few years ago, maybe I guess about three now, on your trip to Israel, where we had Elmer and Elmer Jr.
Yeah,
it was fun having you and your son, you and one of your sons, on that trip. And I hope you can make it out to our special gathering on the 24th. We're going to be celebrating with all the past pilgrims that have been on trips to Israel, along with people interested in knowing more about Israel, and then some of my neighbors, and hopefully some from the Jewish community are going to come out, because we're going to have a special guest down from Chicago, the Ministry of Tourism Director Omer Eshel, and he's going to share some things about Israel, and he's a trained, licensed tour guide, and it should be a great gathering of people coming together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you for carving out some time to be available for today's edition of Mark and Friends. I hope you and Gail are going to make it out this Saturday, August 24th. To our Israel celebration. Now, you don't have to be going on a trip to Israel to come join us this Saturday. In fact, I'll probably only spend about 2 minutes during the formal program even highlighting the trip, just saying there's more information on the table. This is just a gathering of some friends, some community people, neighbors, for a time of some good food, fellowship, fun, teaching, giveaways. But you must RSVP at 217-367-7777. The food and fellowship time is 3 to 5. I'll provide free burgers, hot dogs, beverages, and other fixins. 40 or 50 people, I think, are bringing a dish to pass, which would be nice if you wanted to do that too. The band Northwind will present at about 4:30, and the formal program will go 5 to 7, which will include special music by Debbie Phillips, special guest Omer Eshel, Israel Tourism Council Director. By the way, he'll be on tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends, the Wednesday edition, and then Pastor Jason Schiffo and yours truly. So be sure to RSVP and come join us this Saturday, August 24th, for a celebration you don't want to miss. And you've heard me talk about my nature trail and tree fort and kayaking and canoeing on the mighty Sangamon River. Well, you can participate in those things if you'd like to, so just come early and enjoy relaxing time on my 8 acres in the woods. Once again, you must RSVP at 217-367-7777. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.